Which is in some sense Paul saves the best bit till last. So sorry, you're not getting that this evening. But let me read 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for these words that we have just read. Please, as I open them up for us now, would you be speaking? Please encourage our hearts with your gospel this evening. Amen. A bit of a gloomy start for a gloomy season. It feels like death is in the news quite a lot at the moment, doesn't it? That's a bit of an understatement. Deaths from COVID reported daily. This week, a hearing again about the death of George Floyd in America. Deaths across the globe from conflicts, too many to mention, and of course, closer to home, the death this week of Prince Philip. Deaths are newsworthy, aren't they? They're also binge-worthy. If you're like me, you've been following the BBC's Line of Duty, which is back on our screens. And my wife and I recently decided to catch up with Line of Duty and rewatch the first series. And in pretty much every episode, there is quite gruesome death. Many of our most popular TV shows are murder mysteries or police dramas. It seems to me that our culture doesn't quite know what to do with death. The young, and I would count myself among them, we tend to just ignore it, push it away. So I wonder if COVID has started to have an effect on that. We can sentimentalize death. Before the pandemic, I went to a funeral where the bereaved daughter told the congregation that it had rained that morning because Mum knew that we wouldn't look after her garden, as if death had somehow granted her mother supernatural powers. Or perhaps worst of all, we celebrate death. If you think of the language used by pro-abortion or pro-euthanasia activists of the right to choose to end a life. The one thing our culture really struggles to do is come to terms with the gruesome reality of death, because to do so would be to realize that there is no hope. As president of Humanists UK, Dr. Alice Roberts, a former lecturer of friends of mine, tweeted on Good Friday, "Just a little reminder today, dead people don't come back to life." A cheery thought for your Friday afternoon. I'm not quite sure what she thought she was trying to accomplish just with a bit of light-hearted ridicule of Christians, but isn't it just quite bleak, if not insensitive, in the season of COVID? Dead people don't come back to life. Yes, Alice, we know. That's why it's terrible. That's why we try to avoid it. That's why we push it away. In tonight's passage, Paul is very clear. Everybody dies. But the Christian message, the Christian hope, is that death doesn't win. For the Christian, death is always followed by resurrection. We're going to see that in four different ways in this passage tonight. First, the Christian message is one of death and resurrection. That's roughly verses 1 to 8. Secondly, becoming a Christian is a death and resurrection experience. That's roughly verses 9 to 11. Third, the Christian hope is about going through death to resurrection. That's verses 12 to 22. And then finally, the Christian life follows the pattern of death and resurrection. That's verses 23 to the end. And if four things is too much for us to remember or to consider, don't worry, there's just one big thing, really. Because of all of this, we, as Christian believers, can face death in the certain hope of resurrection. If there's one thing you take home tonight, that's it. We, as Christian believers, can face death in the certain hope of resurrection. So let's jump in. Verse 1. The Christian message is one of death and resurrection. So verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. Paul begins this section by reminding the Corinthians of the gospel message that he had preached to them and which they had believed. Now, why start this section that way? I think there's a hint in verse 2 where he says, by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. It seems that some of the Corinthians have started to drift from this gospel that Paul had preached. Specifically, they've started questioning something about the resurrection. Now, we'll see in a few moments what exactly they meant by the resurrection that they were starting to question. But for now, let's just continue to follow Paul's argument. He begins by reminding them that the Christian message is and has always been one of death and resurrection. Verse 3, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Paul is very clear, the Christian message has always been one of death and resurrection. There's that little phrase, according to the scriptures. That is the Old Testament. Even in the Old Testament, this gospel of death and resurrection has been preached. In the first evangelistic sermon of the new church, Peter on Pentecost stands up and quotes King David in the Psalms. For you will not abandon my body to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. And Jesus, and Peter says, that's talking about Jesus. Right back in the Old Testament, death and resurrection. In fact, throughout the Old Testament, there are death and resurrection-like stories that point forward to Jesus. To give just one example, Joseph, left for dead by his brothers, but he ends up rising from prison to give life to the world through a famine, through providing grain for God's people and for many others. It's just how God works. He works through death and suffering and pain to bring about his purposes, glory and resurrection and life. And so the Christian message is and has always been about Christ's death. Yes, gloriously true, but also about his resurrection. And Paul wants us to know that it's not just a made-up story. Verse 5, he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and after that to more than 500 at the same time, then to James, then to the apostles, last of all to me. People saw him. Jesus was dead, and then he wasn't. He was seen. He was touched. If you're here and you want to think through more about that, tune into last week's service where we thought a little bit about it, or a couple of years ago around Easter, we had a whole evening on looking at the reality in history of Jesus' resurrection. Do look those up if that's you. But here Paul just wants us to know the Christian message is about Jesus' death and his resurrection, his bodily resurrection. Bodily, that's important. We'll come back to it. Second, becoming a Christian is a death and resurrection experience. Verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. What was the effect of the gospel on Paul's life? It transformed a persecutor of the church into a proclaimer of Jesus. Christian conversion is a death and resurrection experience. We die to our old selves, and we are raised to new life in Christ. We see this pattern throughout other parts of the Bible. We've seen it earlier this year in our series on Romans, lots of different places. But chapter 6, Paul says, you know, we were buried with Christ in baptism and then raised to new life. Our old selves dying, our new selves coming to life. In Colossians, you get the same picture. In chapter 2, Paul talks about, since we died with Christ. And then chapter 3, since you have been raised with Christ. In Ephesians, in fact, Paul says, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is that Spirit that is at work in you. Becoming a Christian is a death and resurrection experience. We live out that reality of Jesus' resurrection, death and resurrection in our own lives. We die with him to our old selves and then are raised with him spiritually. And this happens decisively when we first become a Christian, but we'll see in a minute as well that it happens on a kind of day-to-day basis as we put to death our old selves and are given new resurrection life by the Spirit. This is the gospel that Paul preached and the Corinthians believed. Verse 11. We are saved through Jesus' death and resurrection. And when we become a Christian, it's a death and resurrection experience. Third, the Christian hope is about going through death to resurrection. Now, here we start to see why Paul has been reminding them of the resurrection in particular. Verse 12, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? What are the Corinthians getting at when they say there's no resurrection of the dead? Well, they're not here actually talking about Jesus' resurrection, but more the idea of a general resurrection. What's that? If you've grown up in the UK, as I have, or maybe if you've just seen adverts for Philadelphia cheese, then you've probably got this vague idea of what the Christian hope is supposed to be like, kind of floaty, cloudland, maybe playing a harp. Is that a picture that you've come across? You see it in cartoons. It's a bit wishy-washy. It's not actually a million miles away from a common view in Paul's time. The idea that when we die, we're somehow liberated from our bodies. Our bodies being earthy and dirty and something to get, you know, throw off and get rid of, like a caterpillar goes into a cocoon and discards it to become a, you know, a floaty, floaty butterfly. No, this is not the Christian hope. The Christian hope is for resurrection. That is, bodies. Physical bodies. Bodies set free from the aches and pains of this life, yes, but recreated perfect bodies. Bodies like the resurrection body of Jesus, able to touch, to be touched, to eat food, renewed, resurrected. The Corinthians seem to have drifted away from this idea that that is the Christian hope. They seem to be putting their hopes in some kind of floaty cloudland. But Paul pushes us to see the logical consequences of that view. Look at everything that comes if you deny that hope of bodily resurrection. Verse 13, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. How could he be? For a resurrection to be a resurrection, it's got to involve a body. And so without the resurrection of the dead, well, Christ couldn't have come back. And without the resurrection, verse 14, our preaching is useless, says Paul. So is your faith. Pack up shop and go home. Without the resurrection, there is no point. In fact, verse 15, call me a liar. In fact, I've lied about God. I mean, that's quite serious, guys. If there's one person you don't want, you know, against you in the witness stand in the courtroom, it's God. Verse 17, your faith is futile. Verse 18, if there's Christians who have already died, well, you know, there's no hope for them. They're already gone. And verse 19, you're basically the lowest of the low. You're to be pitied more than anybody else. If Christ has not been raised, the Christian hope is totally empty, says Paul. But, says Paul, verse 20, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of all those who have fallen asleep. It's what he's been at pains to tell us all along. The Christian message is one of death and resurrection. Jesus has been raised from the dead. And what does this mean for us? Well, we've already seen how resurrection power is at work to bring us to that new life in Christ as we become Christians. But here, Paul wants us to see that this means a physical resurrection after death too. He's shown the Corinthians, If you think that there's no resurrection after death, if there are no bodily resurrection, then Christ can't have been raised. But it works the other way too. Christ has been raised. And what's that show us? There is a future resurrection hope of new bodies in a new creation. Christ was raised in a body as, verse 20, the first fruits of those who have died. If you were here this morning, you'll have heard a little bit about the first fruits, the idea being the first fruit that arrives in the new season. That's just a taster, a foretaste of all of the crops that are to come. Here's another way of thinking about it. This last week, we've been celebrating the first birthday of my daughter, Zoe. We've been reminiscing about her arrival last year. I can still very clearly remember her birth. But even if you haven't seen a baby being born, you probably know this. Once the head comes out, the rest of the body inevitably follows. Christ is our head. He is raised first. And his body, that is us, well, we inevitably follow. We are raised too. Verse 21, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. Here Paul wants us to see that Jesus' resurrection is him as a man, not just as God the Son. In other words, when Jesus is raised, it is as one of us, a human being. His resurrection is like our resurrection, his resurrection body like our resurrection body. In fact, in many ways, his resurrection is our resurrection, just the first installment of it. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. That is, death is a universal experience. For every human being, death is inevitable, but the man Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And so for those who belong to him, resurrection is as certain as death, because Christ has already been raised. I once got to preach this passage at an all-age service, and I got some of the kids to form a conga line to help demonstrate this. Sadly, COVID means we won't be able to do that this evening. So I'm just going to have to get you to use your imaginations. I was tempted to pick on my friend Chris Ansbury and his family here, but I will go for Nathan, sorry, Nathan Howard and his family over here. Can everybody here just imagine for a second that Nathan is up the front of a conga line and his family are all holding on behind him in a line, kind of one after the other. Now, have that picture in your head. Sorry, Howards, really sorry. have that picture in your head. Now imagine Nathan walking around the church, making sure to follow the one-way system, of course. What happens to his family as he walks around? They follow. They follow behind. Where Nathan goes, his family will follow. Where Jesus goes, we will follow. Jesus goes through death to resurrection. And if we're holding on to him, we too will go through death to resurrection. That is the Christian hope. Where Jesus goes, we will follow. And finally, the Christian life follows the pattern of death and resurrection. We've seen that the Christian message is about Christ's death and resurrection. We've seen that becoming a Christian is an experience of death and resurrection. And we've seen that the Christian hope is going through death to resurrection. And so it should come as no surprise that our Christian lives here and now are patterned. They follow the pattern of death and resurrection. That has always been God's way throughout the Bible. We experience both death and resurrection in our day-to-day lives. In verses 23 to 28, we'll just have to skim over, but we see the order that things happen in. Christ's resurrection is the first fruits, verse 23, the guarantee of the resurrection to come, but it's only later that we are raised. We are yet to go through death to resurrection. That is yet to come. It's at that later point that he will destroy death. Verse 24, he will destroy all of death's dominion, authority, and power. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, and it will happen. It will happen. Death's defeat is assured by the first fruits of Jesus' resurrection. But death is still present now. And so our experience of the Christian life here and now is one of both death and resurrection, because we live in that gap between Jesus' resurrection and ours. We experience death and resurrection. So, we've already seen, when we become a Christian, we die to our old selves and are raised to new spiritual life. Living as a Christian means dying to self daily, but with the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. Sharing the good news of Jesus with others, well, it's hard. It's a sacrifice. We have to cross that pain barrier of social awkwardness, and in some parts of the world, it will mean persecution and death. But it leads to new resurrection life in others. It is no surprise that the church has often grown the fastest where the believers are persecuted. Christians experience death and persecution and suffering and yet persevere, and they testify to resurrection hope and people believe. Or giving our money or our time, our effort, each sacrifice is like a mini death, but it bears resurrection fruit. The Christian life follows the pattern of death and resurrection. Now, it's not necessarily that each of these mini deaths, if you like, inevitably and directly leads to a mini resurrection, but more that it's just kind of the general pattern, the general way that God works. As we've seen, it's there throughout the Bible. You think of Joseph again, left for dead, bringing life to the world. Or the picture of the people of Israel going through the death of the desert to life in the promised land. Or Jesus' parable, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it just remains a single seed. But if it falls to the ground and dies, well, then it bears much fruit. It's just the pattern, the way that God works. We saw it this morning in Romans 8. Suffering followed by glory. The Christian life is marked by hard work, but it is also marked by real blessing. Jesus calls us to lose our lives for him and for the gospel, but as we do so, we save them and find true life in him. As Paul writes elsewhere, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Outwardly wasting away, but inwardly renewed. Troubles now, glory to come. Death and resurrection in our experience now, and then through death to resurrection in the future. That is the pattern of the Christian life, because we follow a crucified and risen Savior. It is how God works. This morning in Romans, we saw suffering cannot separate us from God's love. One reason why is because God works through suffering, transforms it, and brings about resurrection hope through it. To give one example of that, my older brother was born with a congenital disease that meant he only lived 11 months. His death meant that my parents, rather than doing what they thought they were going to be doing, going overseas, ended up staying in the UK, working to share the gospel with international students. It wasn't what they planned, and it was a hard time. But God brought such fruit, even through tragedy. Many, many people have heard the gospel through their ministry in the UK, who have then gone back to countries where they might not have ever come across a Christian. Just a little example of how God uses the suffering and death even of this life to bring about his resurrection purposes. It is the kind of God that he is. It has always been his way. And so as a church, we can cling on to that hope of resurrection whatever our experience, because we follow a crucified and risen Lord and Savior. And where he goes, we will follow. As we come near to the end, what does that mean for us then, now, in a pandemic? There's lots of reflection going on at the moment, given that it's been just over a year since the first lockdown. And I think many of us have been looking back on this last year and just thinking, where was the light? It has been a tough and a difficult year for so many of us. It has been a death-like experience in some ways. And many people here will know those who have died this last year. But as we do look back, the resurrection does give us hope in all sorts of different ways. For a start, it gives us hope that this last year has not been wasted. The Christian life has always followed this pattern of death and resurrection. Suffering, difficulty, hardship should not surprise us, should not discourage us, because God is a God of resurrection. He brings life through death. There is suffering and hardship and toil and labor without seeing fruit, and perhaps that has been your experience this year. Perhaps you have been involved in the behind-the-scenes work, working hard at all of the online content, whether it's weekly live streams like this, whether it's the big Bible adventure, other kids groups, grow groups, many of it where you won't necessarily know who's even been watching. What possible fruit could there be? All of that effort with very little feedback or anything to show for it. Be encouraged. The Christian life is patterned on death and resurrection. Little deaths and little resurrections, so that there is hope even where it is hard, even where we can't see it. It is just how God works. Our little stories reflect that big story. God works through the hardship and suffering that we go through in order to bring about his purposes. How do we know that? Well, he did it through Jesus. He did it through Jesus' death and resurrection. The greatest crime, the greatest tragedy that ever happened, the death of the Lord, brought salvation to billions. Eternal glory. He's done it before, and he will do it again and again and again and again. The Christian life follows the same pattern because that is the kind of God that he is. It has always been his way. And so we can look back on the hardships of this last year, even where we cannot see what on earth God was doing in them, confident that he is at work. He is still at work bringing resurrection life out of the barrenness of this last year. What about as we look forward? Tomorrow we take the next step out of lockdown along the government's roadmap, and I will be finding a hairdresser pretty quickly. For so many of us, there is that right sense of relief, isn't there? A chance to have a break, speaking of which. Excuse me. It has been a hard year and we are human. We need a break. It is sensible, isn't it, to just pause and stop for a bit, if we can. We know our limits. And that's right. But there will be a temptation that comes along with it. As restrictions ease and life becomes easier, it will be tempting for us to start to put our hope in this life again and not in the resurrection. I have found myself celebrating as deaths have gone down due to vaccines, and like Boris, I am looking forward to that first pint in a pub. But my temptation, and perhaps yours too, is that I want to return to a relatively comfortable existence rather than a life marked by death and resurrection. I just want a break to enjoy myself. And perhaps I will start coasting spiritually, because I've got my old life back. It's easy. That is not what Paul would have us do. If our hopes are starting to be fixed on June the 21st or whenever it will be, we need to raise them. Resurrection hope is greater than the hope of foreign holidays. Have a look at verse 30. As for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there is no resurrection, then let's focus on this life. Celebrate and enjoy the easing of lockdown. Return to a comfortable existence. Eat, drink. Tomorrow we die, but we've made it through this far and the death rates are dropping. So let's just celebrate. And our eyes drop and focus on the hope of the holiday or whatever it is, rather than thinking the hope of resurrection. Why would we do that? Read on when you have a chance, verse 35 and onwards. The Christian hope is so much better. So much of the world's hopes will be about forgetting the last year. But resurrection hope is strong enough to deal even with death. We can grow through it. We can persevere because our hope is so much greater and much higher than simply hope for a new normal. Our hope is a new creation. So as we emerge from lockdown, take the rest. Yes, if you can. We are human. We are limited. We are frail. But let's fix our hope on the resurrection that Christ offers us. And let's remember, too, that there is still a needy world dying without Christ. Even as COVID death rates drop, there are still many who are dying without resurrection hope. But have a look at verse 31. I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you. Paul's ministry was an experience of death. Facing wild beasts in Ephesus, probably just a graphic picture of the kind of opposition that he faced. But his ministry brought new life to the Corinthians. Death and resurrection. That's the pattern. That is how God works. It is the Christian message. It is the Christian hope. It is the Christian life. Now, if you're here this evening or you're listening online and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, we are delighted you're here and listening in. This message of hope is for you too. It doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, what has been done to you. Jesus says to you, join me. Let my death be your death, and let my resurrection be your resurrection. Whatever is in your past, I can deal with it. Whatever's in your future, I have got it covered. Let me take everything you have done wrong away and put it to death as I die on that cross. And as I rise to new life, let me take you with me, a new life that starts now and goes on into eternity. That is what Jesus offers, his own life, his own resurrected life. Will you have him? Will you trust him to take you through death to resurrection on that road that he has already traveled? If you will, then we would love to know. We would love to help you. Go on our website, make contact with us. I can't say hang around here afterwards, but maybe hang around in the park or something. For those listening, those here this evening who are already Christians, brothers and sisters, we have this resurrection hope to offer to a dying world, a world that doesn't know what to do with death. And we have resurrection hope to keep us going, even when it is hard, because with the reality and solidity of resurrection hope, we can face suffering and hardship and even death, knowing that Jesus has beaten it already. We can face death with the certain hope of resurrection, because where Jesus goes, we will follow. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you are a God who works through death to bring about resurrection. We thank you that whatever our experience of life, you are bringing good fruit and new life through your Spirit because of the resurrection of Christ. Please, Father, continue to be at work in us to bring that resurrection hope and life in our lives and to those around us. Help us to fix our hope, fix our eyes on you and your Son, the risen Lord Jesus. Amen.